Welcome to the Devotional Cast, June 12th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube or on iTunes or on Periscope and put the notification on once every cast is being aired or broadcast. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a rating that will help us out in the search rankings and people can find us easier. And today we have a special guest, Mr. Jesse Velez. I met him at work camp, actually, this past March, and his presentation was a memorable one, actually. He was in my top three, and he was very empathetic, full of passion, full of charisma, and he's also a Christian. So, Jesse, welcome to the Devotional Cast.
Awesome. Great to be here.
So, Jesse, can you have a quick bio and just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, my name is Jesse Velez. I'm a native New Yorker, so I'm from New York. I've been born and bred, transplanted here to Miami, Florida about 9 years ago. And a little bit about myself is I'm kind of co-vocational, so I'm a pastor as well as, you know, I do technical work and run my own business. So it's kind of it used to be called bivocational, but now it's co-vocational. It's something that I do together with what I do for a living. So my name of my company is WeDoInternet.net, and we try to do as much as we can on internet. We do web design, web programming, web developing, UI development, everything to do with that portion, and now we're breaking into some content marketing, working with Instagram and Facebook, as well as, you know, creating blog posts and increasing traffic on people's websites as well.
Yes, Jesse does very similar work that I do, so we kind of run into like the same circles. And you're mm-hmm. also you're a good speaker. I mean, I'm not sure if the church taught you how to be a good speaker mm-hmm. or you're just naturally born with that talent.
Well, no, I wasn't naturally born. I like to tell people I'm an introvert. I'd rather be alone in the room with the TV. That's my main thing. And for much of my life, I lived that way. And then when I got to be about 20 years old and, you know, life began to change, I started realizing that those kinds of people that are just to themselves, that they don't really go places. They don't really go far. And so I started volunteering, speaking and teaching, just teaching whatever I knew. At one point, I sat on a panel. And then another point, I was teaching Adobe Illustrator, back when it was like Illustrator 3. And from there, I just enjoyed teaching, and I enjoyed communicating what I know to other people. Now, of course, it's developed a lot since then by mentorship and learning from other speakers like John Maxwell and others that put things in a way that people can grasp and understand. And that's what I try to do, too. So today, you'll see that as well. I kind of put it together in a way that it's going to stick with you, and hopefully it'll carry through and impact you. As a speaker, it's not always easy because many times, you know, when you're up in the front looking, people are doing everything but listening. And so it's kind of hard. You just say, okay, all I want is that everybody walk away with at least 10 minutes of memory, that they'll remember some portion of 10 minutes, and that's good enough for me.
Jesse Velez, let's get to the meat of the sandwich and light this candle. Let's pray, and he'll share the devotional for June 12, 2018. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, speak to us, Lord. Change our lives, Lord. We are broken, Lord, and we need encouragement, Lord. And your word has power, and your word has a lot of depth, a lot of life. It's giving and it's encouraging. It brings peace to people's lives. And we pray for Jesse, over his word, in Jesus' name, amen. Yes, all yours, Jesse.
Amen, amen. All right. So today, what I want to talk about is I titled it Three Ways to Forget the Past. You know, today's society, there's a lot of past being brought up, you know, a lot of things from a long time ago that's coming forward today. And it's exposing a lot of people, and for good, too, because there's some things that people do in the past that have injured. And thankfully, today we live in a world that we can revisit the past when things happen criminally. And we're able to go back and say, okay, well, what happened then? We need to deal with. So as I've been thinking about that stuff, I started thinking, okay, what am I going to do today? And this scripture verse has been on my heart now for about 2 weeks. And so what I want to do is I'm going to read the verses that I have, all right, and then I'll go back and I'll break them down or fit them into the time that I have, okay? You got to be very careful with time because I can go for a while. So I want to make sure it's good to go. So let's begin. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. It says this, So he departed from there, he being Elijah, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he, Elisha, with the 12th. And Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and mother, then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elisha returned from following Elijah and took the pair of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him. Next one is Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 19. And Isaiah prophesies from the word of the Lord, and he says, "Do not call to mind the former things, or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. You will not be aware of it. I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Paul says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." It's a lot of stuff happening there, a lot of stuff going on. But today, the three ways in which you can forget the past are these three things. I try to make it memorable. The first one is to let go. The second one is to reach ahead. And the third one is to press on. So let's take a look at what's happening here in 1 Kings. Elijah is in a pretty bad situation. In the previous chapter, chapter 18, Elijah is at the point where there's been a three-year famine or three-and-a-half-year famine. And he's coming up against King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And Elijah's walking in power. If you don't know the story, it's about Elijah confronting the false prophets. And he calls fire down from the sky. You know, he wipes them all out. You know, he's walking in some kind of power that God has given him to be able to do these things. And then in chapter 19, we find that Elijah's depressed. He's depressed because Jezebel, who's a really formidable foe enemy, she's out to get him. And she's put a hit on him, and she swore that by the same time tomorrow, Elijah would be dead. And so Elijah's afraid. And so what he's doing, he's running. And in that running, God gives him some instruction. I'm not going to talk about everything, but one of his instructions was to find his replacement. And his replacement, God told him, would be a man named Elisha. So in this verse, chapter 19, we come upon what Elijah is expecting to see for his replacement, to be the prophet to Israel. When he finds Elisha, he finds Elisha plowing in the field. Now, Elisha, he's no joke. He has 12 oxen, and I'm sure he's not the only one plowing, because it says here he was on the 12th pair. But this guy has a pretty big farm, if you have 12 oxen. And at this time, the drought had just ended. So it looks like Elisha was about to get back to business, which is to making his farm grow and build forward. So he was getting right back to the way things were when Elijah came and kind of symbolically put his cloak on him. Now, Elisha knew what that meant. So that means this guy was a man who understood the things of God. Of course, God is not going to choose him specifically if he was totally ignorant. But he knew what that meant. But he also knew that there was some unfinished business. And that unfinished business was to kind of take care of his father and mother, but also to take care of the people who worked for him, believe it or not, those other 11 people driving plows. And so it says here that he asked Elijah permission. Elijah was like, you know, what do you want from me, you know? Elijah was a forward-going person, so he kept going. And Elisha came back, and he killed the oxen, and then he broke the materials that, you know, held the oxen, the yoke, the two oxen together, you know, the cross beam, the metal, the chains, the belts, the wood. He took that, he broke it, and he made it into a fire so he could actually cook the pair of oxen. I believe he only cooked his pair of oxen. He didn't cook the other 11. But he did that, and he fed the people, and then he gave it to them, and then he left and followed Elijah. See, this is important to see because sometimes in our past, we cling on to the past. And holding on to that past can sometimes give us that plan B or that way out that God really doesn't want for us. He wants us to go forward. So the first part of letting go is to deal with it. If your past is keeping you from moving forward, deal with it. In this case, his past was these 12 pair of oxen and his father and his mother. But he went back and he dealt with it. He put it where it needed to be, and then he started going forward. So don't let your past control your thoughts or your mind any longer. In his case also, he did what? He destroyed it. Some bridges are worth burning. Don't let the injuries from your past keep you focused on it. Get rid of it. It may be a picture you have of that person that maybe injured you. Throw the picture out. You know, it may be some memorabilia that keeps, every time you turn to it, it comes up. Get rid of it. If it's causing you pain and it's drawing you back to the past, destroy it. And that's what he did right here. He destroyed all the materials and burnt it. And then the next one is don't remember it. It's kind of hard when you're letting go to deal with it, to destroy it, but then don't remember it. The Bible says that God has given us a way and a process in which we can deal with our mind. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6, he says that we walk according to the Spirit, so we fight according to the Spirit. And what do you do with that fight? You destroy down thoughts or every lofty thing that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. See, if God has called you and you say you're a child of his, then any thought that contradicts that is trying to make itself bigger than God. That knowledge that says you're no good, you're worthless, or you can't handle it, or you can't make it, see, that's the opposite of God, because God is saying, you can do it through me. You can pursue through me. You can succeed through me. It's going to be hard, but we can make it through together. And when that happens, you have to take those thoughts captive. And then when you take that thought, the ending of chapter 10, verse 6 says, and be ready to punish all disobedience. So when you get a thought, you take captive that thought, and then you take that thought and you say, well, it takes practice to do. It takes thoughtfulness to do, but you can do it. In Micah chapter 7, verse 19, God says that he's going to take our sins and cast them into the depths of the sea. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, he says that he won't remember our sins anymore. And that's a beautiful thing, because sometimes when we imagine if God had to keep that on his mind all the time, he won't see us for who we are. So in letting go, we have to deal with it. Go back to those people, make wrong, make right, whatever wrongs we have. We have to destroy it. So that means that there's something that you're keeping that's always pulling you back to the past. Get rid of it. It's okay. You can live without it. And the second one is don't remember it. Work to forget the injuries that occurred to you. And some of it might have to start with dealing with it for you to get to that point. But God has given you the ability, his Holy Spirit, to actually work that through in your life. Now, I'm saying this from experience. I'm not saying this like just from the point of reading scripture. We've had some things in our lives in which people have injured us, you know, and it's hard to be injured when especially that person has been a part of your life. And then when every time you look back in pictures, there they are. You know, it's like, man, that person hurt us real bad. But here they are with us in a handball court. Here they are with us going to church. Hey, I baptized that person. And yet, you know, in my heart, I had to deal with, you know, I got to forget what's behind, you know, because that's keeping me there. Those memories are keeping me from moving forward to what God wants for me, which is not depression, which is madness, right? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that's the first part in letting go. And that's what he did in 1 Kings. So another part of letting go is to reach ahead. So in reaching ahead, after you've let go of the past, part of you forgetting the past is by creating a new future or creating new memories or creating new opportunities. So the first thing you have to do is when you're reaching ahead is to set goals. You got to have something to hit, right? In this case, in Philippians 3, Paul is talking about the resurrection. He's saying, I'm still a human. I haven't entered into that resurrection, but that's my goal. My goal is to get to that point. So I keep pressing great. The next one is you got to start new. And Isaiah 43, it says, don't keep, God has new things for you. Don't worry about the past. Last year was gone. This year is new. Pursue it as if it's new. And you know what? You may not even know all the new things. You know, you don't know yet what God has for you coming up in this year. I did not know I'd be meeting Santiago Leon and talking on his podcast this year. But you know what? I made myself available. I set goals that I was going to speak at a certain number of meetups. And God has provided opportunity through that. to be here. So start new things, start a new project, start a new hobby, start a new ministry, start a new business. And the third part of staying focused is to keep your eyes on the prize. Once you know what you want, keep pursuing it. Watch out for distractions. Keep focused. And beware that the past will come back to try to steal your focus. So you have to make sure you keep the past in the past and you let it go. I know I'm getting close to my time. I have just three more things to talk about in this let go, reach ahead, and press on. These three ways to forget your past. And the last one is press on. You know, forgetting your past isn't just about letting it go. And it isn't just about having goals and moving forward. But it's about pressing on. Because anything worth getting is not going to be easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But God has given us the strength to press forward on the difficult things. So in press on, I have three things also. And that is goal stretching, get surrounded, and give back. So with goal stretching, always keep your goals in mind, but make them a little bit more than you can attain. Don't make them easy in a sense that, hey, you know, I can do this and I can take care of it real quick. Make it so that stretches you, that even that as you pursue your goal, you'll start to adjust and say, okay, this needs to get a little bit bigger because, you know, I want to make room for God. I don't want to limit God by setting my goals kind of small. So if for my business, I say, okay, this year, these are my goals. But I also want to put in some difficult things that are going to stretch me and that are going to stretch what I want to do. So in pressing on, you know, Paul says that he stresses, he reaches forward for the prize. The next one is get surrounded. You have to surround yourself by great people and surround yourself by people who are going to move you forward and not backward. In this case, Elijah was that to Elisha. Jesus was like that to his followers, and Paul was like that to Philippians. He wanted to put himself around people that he can move himself forward into the future. And the last one is give back. You can't press on. You can't move from the past until you start giving back. Giving back is so much better because Jesus did say it is far more better to give than it is to receive. Giving back is going to change the way you deal with what you receive. So I want to encourage you to give back, to press forward, do these things. But let me recap, okay? I have three ways to forget the past by letting go. And then letting go, we need to deal with it. We need to destroy it. And we need to don't remember it. Okay, I had to make the D's fit there, so I put don't remember it. And the next one is, the second way is to reach ahead. And to really reach ahead, we have to set our goals, we have to start new things, and we have to stay focused. And the last one of the three ways to forget your past is to press on. And that's important because we're heading in a direction. You know, that's one thing I love about Christianity is that it's always forward. It's always going. It's not remaining. If you look in Acts, it's always about getting out there. It's always about doing new things. It's about saying, hey, there's a future that we're running into, and we want to be part of it. So in reaching ahead, that set goals, start new, stay focused. And the last one, press on, is goal stretching. Get surrounded by good people and to get back to your community, whether it be business or church or even your own neighborhood. So those are the three ways. So I'm going to pray and then you'll know I'm officially done.
Amen.
And I want to thank you again, Santiago, for letting me be here. Sometimes I feel like I'm rushed because I kind of speak fast, but thankfully we're recording this. And you and YouTube, you can choose the, like, you know, instead of the 1.25, you can do like the 0.57 or something to slow me down. But let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness in our lives. Lord, we thank you because your word is so clear to us, oh God, that you did not leave us orphans, oh God. You did not leave us alone, but you sent us the power of your Holy Spirit. So I'm so grateful, oh God, that your Spirit has given us the ability to think through these things, given us the ability to see your word and to cut it apart and to open it up. But Lord God, more than anything, oh God, I'm so glad, oh God, that you brought us into relationship with you, that we are in a relationship, oh God, and not a religion. And I thank you for that, oh God. It's not always clear. It's not always perfect, oh God, but I thank you for being there. So today, Lord, I pray today for myself that I will continue to let the past go, Lord, that I won't hold on to things that are keep me from moving forward. It's a command. You commanded us. You said, forget what is behind. That's what Paul did. That's what he told us to do. And then, Lord God, we want to press forward. We want to press forward in our lives, in our businesses, in our families, oh God, in our friends, in our community. You've called us to be change agents. And so, Lord God, I pray, do your work through us, oh God. Do have your way in our lives that we might be able to show forth that you are real. And not for our credit, but for your credit, oh God. That the world will know that you are the one and true, the everlasting, oh God. The one that our future is so great, has yet to even begun, oh God, and is found in you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Jesse. Amen. And
you're welcome.
And you're right. I think, you know, some people just stay behind and they need to move forward. You know, yeah, you made a mistake or you were in pain, mm-hmm. but, you know, you got to move forward. And that's very encouraging. What version of the Bible do you usually read out from?
Okay, I read from the New American Translation of the Bible, but also it kind of keeps the Bible flavor. You know, sometimes I know in today's society we're like, oh, we want to understand it better, and that's what interpretation is. It's understanding better, but I think we kind of lose some of the language that I know I was familiar with that I think is important as well. And so the New American Standard kind of falls in between there, but it's kind of it's staying there because they've updated it, but they're not updating it like the NIV or New Living Translation, things like that. So that's why I like it. For me, it's a good studying tool for the Bible. Whenever I want to use some different passages, I go to the ESV, NIV, NLT, even the Message has some great stuff in it too. It doesn't always sound like the Bible, but it kind of breaks it down into a way that people can understand it today.
So I guess you're not a Message translation fan.
Well, I'm more of a fan now than I've ever been, but it's really a paraphrase. I don't really—they call it translation, but it's really a paraphrase. Somewhere along the line, I think they changed it on the cover. But really, when I read a little bit about how it was made, Eugene Peterson, he said that, you know, every time he got up on the pulpit, he was breaking down the Bible for the people, and he said, "Why don't I just break down the Bible in the Bible?" You know, and I'm kind of paraphrasing what he says, but that's when I have to go back to the Greek, and, you know, that's a whole different story.
It goes deep if you go back into the Greek. Jesse, can you tell us a little bit about your company and what you do? I really like the We Do Internet. It's a very, very clever name.
Yes, well, it is We Do Internet. I have been working in marketing for different types of things for a long time. I started out with Photoshop 2.0. A very, very long time ago. And I've worked in many different places. In New York City, I've worked on Wall Street. I've worked on for nonprofits. You know, I've done a lot of different work and different experience. I even taught for CompUSA, if anybody remembers those people. Wow. But in all that experience, what I realized that when people want something for their website, they want more than just a website. Like, it's just not enough just to give them a nice-looking website. Because today, it just sits there. And if it's not generating business, then after a while they come and they look back at me and they say, hey, you know, I paid you X amount of dollars, and what is it doing? And so I think that just designing websites, just doing the programming and all that stuff is a part of it, but it's not the end. So we try to help to include all the different aspects of the internet, which is really technically what they call internet marketing or digital marketing. And we try to include that in everything that we do. So your website has, you know, good SEO. If you want to do some content marketing through Instagram, we do that as well. We're kind of just getting started. So we're kind of, getting our fire to offer, including ideas. And even sometimes telling people, hey, you know, this logo is not going to make it. This logo was great for like 1999. It was like cutting edge in 1999. But we need to go back and figure out your branding. So we also do some graphic design too. Whatever we need to help position and brand people for the web. So it's very varied. It's a lot of stuff, but I'm enjoying it. It's a lot to learn. It's constant learning, and I like the people I work with, which is, as you know, is my family. It's like a family-run kind of organization. Everybody pitches in. I have 5 children. Only 4 of them are working on this level, and I also have my brother who works with me also. He does the graphic design, senior graphic designer as well.
And
so that's a little bit about our company.
Yeah.
WeDoInternet.net. WeDoInternet.net is the name of the website. If you want to visit it, it'd be awesome.
Yes, and And I know you told us in the devotion that you set a goal at the beginning of the year to speak, and which actually I really liked a lot. Do you think you'll have more speaking engagements in other WordCamps? I know that you have a WordPress meetup now that you're hosting in Miami at FIU. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. That was my goal in January, you know, put it on paper. And I wanted to speak at least three times this year. And then, you know, I've been involved with WordCamp before, and I know the main organizer. And I told him that I want to volunteer as an organizer, which I did, but I also want to speak. And so he was like, well, you know, normally it's hard for you to organize and speak. So he gave me like a 15-minute window to speak. They call them lightning talks. And so I was more than happy to do that. I spoke on that. I was exciting. But before that, in January, I spoke on Amazon Web Services and using WordPress with Amazon Web Services. And then at that WordCamp, the guy who was leading the FIU meetup, which is on Tuesdays, the third Tuesday of every month, he asked me if I want to take it over. And I was like, awesome. You know, that was part of my goal. Now I have an opportunity every month to speak if I need to. And so I do speak, and I do MC that event every single month. And then I also have other opportunities that just continue to grow. I think giving is so important. You know, I mean, I'm volunteering. You know, I'm not getting paid to speak. But giving is so important, and giving opens up opportunity. And that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I really believe what the Bible says is better. It's way better to give than receive. And and like, you know, he'll bless you for it. So, but yeah, the WordCamp. I usually go to WordPress meetups every month. Go to, you know, if you're in Miami, check it out. It's an FIU. It's not hard to find. And, you know, WordPress is used over 30% of the internet. WordPress has something to do in your life.
That's right. Yeah. You don't even know it.
Ready for some random questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
What does a global entrepreneur mean to you?
Okay. It means a lot of thinking. A global entrepreneur is somebody who understands the global community to the extent that it's important. Okay, now I'm not giving you the college answer, but I think that today I remote work. I mean, a lot of my clients are in New Jersey. You know, I work with a guy in California. There are companies I use SmartStar right now.
Yeah, it's definitely getting up there. What would you tell your 15-year-old self?
Okay, that's tough because I have a journal when I was 15 years old, and I was a mess. So anything I can tell him is going to help him out. It's kind of hard because I don't look at the past that way, you know, the way I just told you about forgetting the past. But I think if there was something that I can give to my 15-year-old self that would change who I am, I think it would be to love learning. I didn't love learning until, believe it or not, until I got saved. When I had to start digging in the Bible and start understanding how to understand, but starting to learn how to read it, what it meant historically, you know, what it meant geographically, how history plays a part in our lives. So it wasn't until I was about 19 or so that I started to develop this love for learning. It wasn't attractive when I was in school, in high school, because, you know, high school is a bore. You just want to get out of it. But I would try to instill that in my 15-year-old self to say, you know, learn more. It's a great big world out there. There's a lot to learn. And you know, you do a lot of that by getting into books or watching or listening to other people's experiences.
What job you would not be good at?
I think cleaning is like any kind of cleaning. Like maybe if I worked in a hotel cleaning, only because I have – like this, I don't think it's OCD because I'm not that clean, but when I start to do something, it's like I want to get at the fine things, so I waste a lot of time on small things. So I would go in there, and if I'm cleaning the bathroom, it might take me like an hour or two to clean it because I just want to get that last piece of dirt out. And so I think cleaning, I would just be horrible at it because I'd never get ahead. I think even cleaning dishes just takes me way too long. People do it so fast. But for me, I don't know. I just got to keep working at it until it comes out the way I want it. Unfortunately, you know, it doesn't always work that way. So I think cleaning would be a tough one because of those reasons.
That's a good answer. And can you survive in the woods for 1 month?
Whew, I've been hoping for that for the longest time. I have my storm prep. You know, I'm in Miami. And so prior to Miami, I was in Puerto Rico. And so there, I really experienced like no water for a week, constant brownouts. And this was like 10 years ago almost. So in Puerto Rico, I kind of learned to realize that, hey, you got to be prepared. You got to have some batteries. You got some stuff. So yeah, I have a tent. I have what I need. What I don't have, unfortunately, is some real world experience. So I think I would be able to survive. I got comps because, you know, I got a big family. So I got to have like seven of everything. I have five children. So it's like I got to have seven compasses, seven whistles, seven little pocket knives. And these my kids are not small anymore. They're all just about 18 and over. But that's the way I prepare. So, yeah, I think I would want to. But I'm going to try it out. I'm going to try it out coming soon. I'm going to go. There's a campsite not too far from here, which is about like 2 minutes from a Walmart. So we're safe just in case anything goes wrong.
And how do you have your pancakes?
Whew. I usually just have it with strawberries in the house. So we do a lot of eating at the home because with the large family, you can't always go out to excursions. It's just too expensive. So we enjoy most of our food at home. At least it's been that way for about 20 years.
And are you upset that IHOP changed their name to IHOB?
IHOB. No, I'm not upset because, you know, as somebody who loves burgers, you know, I might actually go to IHOP now or IHOB and see what their burgers like. I'm a big Five Guys and Fries fan. But no, I'm not upset at all. They gotta change. You gotta keep changing with the times. Things are changing, and so I think it's smart. They're redoing the IHOB right by my neighborhood in Cutler Bay. So we was wondering why, and I see now they're probably rebranding the whole area. Like literally, like they took everything down, the little tiny, you know, look of a little tiny house that it has, the blue, they're stripping it, and now they're just building it back up, which I think is awesome and great. They got to change. If you don't change, you're going to wind up like Kmart.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just how you did with your, you know, what you said during your devotion, you got to move forward. You can't stay in one spot. But Jesse, thank you very much. How can people reach you?
Okay. I'm very free with my phone number, 305-741-8054. Give us a call. I give a free 1 hour consultation. If you just have a question, you know, I'll answer any questions you might have. My email address is Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, at wedointernet.net. And there you can find me on all the social media stuff out there. My Instagram handle is Jesse Internet. And that's my Twitter handle. And my Instagram handle is wedointernet. So you'll be able to find us there as well.
Jesse is in all the platforms. We got to get you back for the other podcast that I do called the Miami Tech Podcast.
Okay.
And we can talk WordPress and talk about the latest bugs and also Gutenberg, which is going to come out this year sometime.
That's right.
So should be a good one. Well, Jesse, thanks for coming on to the DevoCast.
All right, awesome. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.